for your faithfulness to us. You have indeed been so, so good to each one of us, giving us life, speaking your words of life into us. You say in the Gospel of John that rivers of living water will flow from us. Lord, we lift our cups up to you today, that your fire, your water, would quench us and would indeed ignite us for your glory's sake. Lord, we pray to you today that you would work within us and use us in your mission field, our world, our families, our coworkers, the people we rub shoulders with day in and day out. Lord, this is the land that you have given to us, the promised land, as we look at the book of Joshua again this morning. Thank you for giving us this land, that indeed you reign. You reign victorious in our hearts and our lives, and you reign in this place, the place where we set our foot, the place where you have called us to, in our places of business, education, places of family where we live. Lord, we give these places to you, for your name is glorious, your name is righteous, and Lord, we desire that for all people, Lord, that they might know your grace, your mercy, your love upon them. We thank you for this past week. We thank you for the 7 testimonies that we received this past Sunday, proclaiming your name as glorious and seeing them baptized. What a celebration that is, Lord. We thank you for the 3 members that transferred their membership here to Westwood Alliance Church. We thank you for our women's meeting that happened yesterday, the Comfy Lodge, and how over 40 women gathered to encourage each other, get to know each other better, and to honor you by studying your word together and praying together. Lord, we continue to pray for us as we move forward, that you would encourage us by building us together, but also to build us out, Lord, that we're not here just to be comfortable in our own zone, but that you've called us to do mission, to go out into our world and proclaim your glory, to proclaim your truth. So we commit ourselves to that as we hear your word this morning. Speak to our hearts through Pastor Joe as he gives us again another sermon through the book of Joshua. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for joining us this morning. We welcome Pastor Joe up.
Good morning, everybody. How are you all today? Good? Well, we're continuing on with the story of Joshua, but we do have to rewind all the way back to the book of Numbers. And back in the book of Numbers, this was the initial stage of the invasion that the Israelites brought us through. And at that time, Moses was there. He was still there. And he said to Joshua, "You and some buddies go into the land, scout it out, come back out. Tell us what we see." And what was presented was this incredible story about how there were giant grapes that were as heavy as a man, where it took 2 people to carry on a pole. And my kids and I, we had this incredibly epic debate on whether, talking about giant grapes, it was like a giant grapes or like lots and lots and lots of grapes. And I want to believe that it was like giant grapes, right? But my kids are probably smarter than me, and probably they're right. But anyways, the land was also filled with milk and honey, and the soil was fertile, and all of these incredible blessings that were laid out before the Israelites to come in and take, as God had promised to them. But so many of the spies, 10 out of the 12, came back and said, "No, yeah, the land is nice and the food is good, the crops are great, but there's giants in the land. I don't think we could take them." and they had this fear. And they brought this report that absolutely melted the resolve of the Israelites. And I always question that, because hadn't these guys just spent 40 years wandering through the desert, experiencing God's providence, right? If you don't know what the word providence means, it means God's providence, God providing for you, right? He led them as a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. He fed them miraculously with these discs of bread called manna. He provided for them water from a rock and birds that would be there in the morning for them to hunt. And yet these people came back and were afraid. They were afraid. Except for Joshua and Caleb. These two came and said, "The Lord has promised us this land. I think we can do it. Because God's on our side." And so we know the rest of the story. They cross the Jordan, they come in, they take Jericho, they take Ai, they take all of these other cities. And it's time now, after they've rededicated themselves to God, they made some mistakes, right? We explored that a few weeks ago. They made some mistakes, but then they rededicated themselves to God. They rededicated themselves by coming back to the Word of God. And they centered themselves against God's commandments again. And this morning, we come to chapter 14, where the land begins to be divvied up. And I was initially reading this, and a lot of people will have read this and be like, "How are you going to get a sermon out of this, Joe?" It's all about land. But it's not. It's not just about the land. It's about the covenant and our role in the covenant. As an individual, and this is my question for you, as an individual, do you believe that your best days are yet to come, or have they passed? Do you believe that your best days are yet to come, or have they passed? And I have to argue that I think the best days are ahead of all of us, no matter how far along in the journey of life we are, some of us a little bit ahead of others. Some of us still fresh and green. Some of us right in the middle. I believe the best days are yet to come, because the promise that God has made to us, the promise that God has provided for us, has yet to come to fruition. But I have a more important question for you, brothers and sisters. Do you think that the best days of Westwood have come to pass? Or is there still something that's going to happen through us, through this family, through the people who sit next to you, through the people that you see each week? Do you believe that Westwood has something left that will make it the best days to come? Keep that in mind. A few weeks ago, when Pastor Dave, president of the Alliance, was here, he asked us a question: where's the fire? Love the stories, but where's the fire? And this is something that I want us to remember as we go through this. Because as we look into the life of Caleb, the second story of Caleb, we see what he has: the fire. As God continues to reveal his blessings to the Israelites, and our story continues, it reminds us of God's covenant to Abraham, right? Back in Genesis chapter 15, I refer to this all the time, so it's Genesis 15, in case you're wondering. Abraham and God have this conversation, and Abraham is given this incredible covenant, this promise, that you will inherit the land, that you will have descendants beyond all things. But most importantly, I believe, is that God's presence would be with him. And through God's presence being with Abraham, he would be a blessing to the nations. And as we come into Jericho, we see that the fruition, the beginnings of that covenant is coming and is happening. God is giving the land. God is giving his blessing, because he's with them. We saw what happened when they weren't with God. They lost. But we also saw that when God was with them, they won miraculous battles. But what does that mean for us?
Well, I got to tell you this. It's not about real estate. God does not promise that we are going to inherit Coquitlam and Vancouver. It's not as simple as the physical real estate investments that we could possibly make as a church. No. It has to do with the spiritual, because when we look into the future of these Israelites, we come to the New Testament, and the promise that's made is no longer just about the physical land. It's even greater than that, right? The person of Jesus Christ, who Jesus is for us, is the salvation and the key to life. Revelation chapter 25, verse 21, verse 5 says this: "He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Everything. The old world, the earth, people, new. Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." What an incredible promise that Jesus Christ has made to us. First and foremost, that we would be inherited as God's inheritance, that we would be co-heirs with Christ, that we would be his family, restored to how God initially wanted us to be. But how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? Joshua chapter 14, let's jump in this morning. Verse 1. "Now these are the areas the Israelites received as an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the tribal clans of Israel allotted to them. Their inheritances were assigned by the lot to the 9.5 tribes, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Moses had granted the 2.5 tribes their inheritance east of Jordan, and had not granted the Levites an inheritance among the rest. For Joseph's descendants had become 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. The Levites received no share of the land, but only towns to live in, with pasture lands for their flocks and herds. So the Israelites divided the land, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" So Caleb comes with a request to Joshua, and he says, "Remember that time? Remember that time when we brought the news back to Moses, and Moses said, 'This is going to be your land?' This is what he wants. I want it." And Joshua, you can imagine the conversation, right? You can imagine the conversation. "Really? You really want that?" Right? Following on. "Now then, just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. Since that time, he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness, so here I am today, 85 years old." Old. In those days, that was old. "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." So Caleb makes this request, and he knows that he's old. He knows that he may possibly be at a disadvantage, but he has heart. He says, no, I can do this, because God is with me." And that's an incredible thing, and he carries the fire that God had put in his heart, the fire of the promise. And I think that's something that we as Christians need to remember, the fire of the promise, right? We need to carry that forward. But this is what Joshua said. Can you imagine that conversation? Caleb, being 85 years old, comes to his other buddy, who's probably just as old, and says, "Hey, I want this land. It's promised to me." Joshua was probably saying, "Why would you want that piece? It's still got cities on it. It's still got bad guys. You really want to fight?" And Joshua is probably saying, "Why don't you just stay here in Gilgal? Why don't you take another piece of land? Why don't you take it easy? You've earned it. You've done so much good." But Caleb continues and he says, "No, my journey's not done. My work is not done. I still have something to do because I know God is with me. I still have something that it was promised to me, and I am going to strive for it to the end." Then Caleb blessed Joshua. Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kirath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. I can imagine that in our society, we have this mentality that kind of follows with this line of reasoning. You work hard your whole life, and then you retire, and you start golfing, playing tennis, going for tea or coffee, and you just shoot the breeze all day, every day, and enjoy the rest of your life. This is the Western mentality, right? I've worked hard my whole life, and now I'm going to just take it easy for the rest of my life. Awesome. And I wouldn't blame you for thinking this. I wouldn't blame you if that was your goal, that one day you're going to play for the rest of your life, enjoying whatever God has blessed you with through the work of your hands. And I think that's a worthy pursuit. But my question for you is, if that's your identity that you are striving for, where does God play into that? What does God want you to do through those particular things? A lot of people have asked me this question, "Hey, how would you want to spend your retirement?" They're, asking in advance. I'm nowhere near that yet. Closer than you'd think, but nowhere near that yet. And I always wanted to answer this. I want to serve God faithfully. I want to be a pastor for the rest of my life. I can't think of a better job than to be paid to be a pastor. And then one day I'll retire and then not get paid to be a pastor. And I said, I think I have to be okay with that. Because there's nothing else I would rather do than serve God. And I can only hope that everybody here has that same kind of fire, that they want to be faithful to God to the end. See, Caleb came, and he knew that there was still a promise to be had. So he made sure that he was going to get there. He kept his body healthy. He kept his passion high. And we as a church need to remember this as well. Westwood Alliance Church is now 25 years old. Gone are the days where we had incredible numbers of growth. It was astronomical in the first 20 years of this church. How much changed? We started in a basement. We moved to a school. We had a building. We changed that building. We made it bigger. And then we made it bigger. And then we made it bigger. We have brought people all over from Coquitlam, into this place to be a family. Starting with three families, Westwood Alliance Church is now a family of over 700 people who walk in and out of these doors every day. What an incredible legacy that we could just leave there and ride. But Westwood, is that the best that we can do? Is that it? No, I don't think so. I think there's still so much potential for us. As we have seen from within our own congregation, those that would start as children who sat on these steps singing in the choir, going to Awana and all of these things. They come up and they're serving on the worship teams. They're teaching Sunday school. Some of them have even become pastors themselves. And what is our role as a church? What is our role as those who have been there walking alongside them? Well, we got to ask the question to ourselves, can we keep doing it at the breakneck pace that we used to do it? Well, no. As anyone who's approaching retirement age or retired knows, things change. The body changes, the mind changes, and as much as the passion doesn't, or shouldn't, I certainly hope it shouldn't, the roles that we play in the church begin to change. The roles that Westwood plays in society is going to change. What can we do, though? We got to first and foremost recognize that as a church, through the 25 years of growth, the ups and downs, there is a season for different things. There is a correlation to the amount of resources and the limitations that we have in growth, right? I was talking to my kids the other day about goldfish and how if you had an unlimited size tank and an unlimited number of feeding or food and nutrition and that kind of stuff, these goldfish would grow to be giant sized. My son and I, we were watching this video about this goldfish that sold for $600,000 in Japan. $600,000. It was this giant goldfish that was over 23 years old. Goldfish. Because it was given the resources and the space to grow. And when we look at that and bring it back to us, we have to recognize that Westwood has four walls that limits what we can and cannot do. Our small groups limit what we can and cannot do. But there's always a way around the limitations. You gotta be hungry. We were also talking about the goldfish and how sometimes there's one that's particularly aggressive and will eat all the food first and will make sure that they're there to be fed. For us, we need to realize that, yes, there's going to be some limitations with what the church can offer to you. But if you want to continue growing, no matter what stage in life you are, you need to be hungry for the Lord. You need to be aggressive with being fed. When pastors get up here and we preach, that's just a little nibble. But you can go home and you can read your Bible. You can join a small group or a fellowship group and invest time, not just into Scripture, but into each other and the relationships that you have there, helping each other grow, learning from each other, sharing ideas and perspectives that help illuminate us as to what God wants from us. You can partner with each other in prayer. You know, this is one of the best things that I ever heard. I was talking to an old retired pastor, and he said, you know, Joseph, I can't give you wisdom anymore. And this was towards the end of his life. And he said, I sometimes have a hard time concentrating now. I fall asleep in your sermons, I'm sorry. But you got to know this, dear boy, I love you. And I'm praying for you. And to know that I was prayed for every time that I stepped on this stage, to know that I was prayed for every morning, gave me that just that extra little bit of, I'm not alone. Somebody is with me in this journey of life. So those of us who are a little bit moving on and asking, how can I still be involved with youth ministry? How can I still be involved in the lives of young people? How can I still be involved in the development of Westwood Alliance Church? Well, let me tell you this. Number one, pray. Pray. Pick somebody that you see here. One of our youngsters, one of our leaders, or one of those that have yet to step up and pray for them. But I've always told this to my kids, my youth, young adult, all young adults, not even young adults anymore. When you pray for them, you gotta let them know. So you whip out the fancy device that nobody understands, and you send them a text and say, I'm praying for you today. Is there anything in particular you would like me to remember? Or you sit down with them and you have coffee and say, I prayed for you this week. How did it go? And that small investment of 2 to 10 minutes a day will make the difference in the life of one of our young people. Because the number one thing that the world struggles with today for young people, and not just young people, but mostly for young people, is depression and a sense of loneliness. And people always ask me, Pastor Joe, I don't know how I'm supposed to be a Christian in this world. I don't know how to do it by myself. And the answer is, you can't. We need you to invest. Our young people need to know that they're not alone. They need to know that they're loved. They need to know that we are in this together. That's the first thing that we can do on our way out the door. Meet somebody, get their number, and text them. Pray for them. Or even just a 2-minute phone call. Pray with them on the phone. What else can we do? What else can we do? You can try something new. You got to recognize and adapt to the different changes that we have. Again, I'm going to use an example from my time with my son. Last 4 years, we've been doing martial arts together. And Caleb, are you here? Okay. Stop listening. And for all these 4 years, I've always been the dad. He's always been the son. I've been teaching him. And one of the things that we do is we spar. We actually physically... I'll clock him in the head. He'll clock me in the face. We kick each other. It's a very lovely time for us. That's how we bond. Love it. But there's a time in my life where I realized I am a little bit worried. He's getting faster. And he's hitting harder. And I don't think it'll be much longer before a day comes where he's going to beat me. But I'll switch. Because I have the experience that he doesn't. I have the experience of fighting in tournaments. I have the experience of learning different styles that he has not learned yet. So I have to adjust my style and my abilities to match what limitations I now have. Can't reach quite as far with my legs, not as fast. But up here, I know things that he doesn't. And in our spiritual lives, it's like that too. Some of us have gone through life and we've experienced a lot of hurt and we've experienced a lot of wins as well. And we can impart this wisdom into those who are coming behind us. There's one time I remember where I was having a conversation with some of my youth leaders in Edmonton. They were like, hey, how would you, let's play this game. And I said, absolutely not. Like, why? Because I guarantee you, every time we play this game, somebody gets really hurt and somebody cries and they never come back to youth group. No, Pastor Joe, you're just getting old and you don't. At that time, I wasn't even close to old. Not even, I was like 26. It was ridiculous, and they called me old. They were like 20. I was like, what are you? Anyways, and I said, no, you absolutely cannot play this game. Somebody's going to cry, so it's never going to come back. And it happened because they thought I didn't know better. Young people, when people more experienced tell you things, it's because we want you to learn from the mistakes that we've made. Not because we think we know better, it's because we've had life. And you need to learn that. You need to learn from us and those that come before. But we in this place that are heading towards the change and we're ready to exit out, we need to recognize that first and foremost, we need to empower our younger leaders to step up into places where we once were, able to and successful and faithful in our serving. And the reality is we can't do it forever. We have to let those who are coming up take those spots. Why? Why would we do that? They're not going to be as practiced as we are. They're not as good as we are. You know what? We started somewhere too. There will always be someone who's coming up younger, who will be more gifted than us, more skilled, more eloquent, better insight. Oh, my goodness. The young people I work with today are so much smarter than I am. But I have what they don't. Mistakes. And I've learned from them. But we can pass that on, we can empower, and we can encourage the next generation to come up. Caleb's resolve was that he wanted to seize the opportunity. He wanted to do it himself. But he himself recognized that his eyes were getting old, and he could no longer see the vision for battle. But what he did keep was his vision for the promise. And that's what we can pass on to the next generation, the next crop of leaders who are stepping up. We can give them the fire that's in our hearts. Because through it all, if you're still sitting here in the church, it's because you have experienced God's fire for you. You've been in places and times where he has saved you, where he has released you, where he has lifted you in the darkest times of your life. And we can pass that to the next generation. My question, though, is, do you think you've discovered who God wants you to be in this time in your life? Do you know who you're supposed to be today? Or are you still living in who you were? I could pretend to be the best fighter for my son. I could still compete with him. But there will become a day when he's just gonna... And I don't want that day to come. I want to start living in his successes. I want to start living through his eyes. It's a very funny thing as a parent, where I used to have my own goals. My goals and my passions now are to see where my children end up and what they end up doing. As a pastor, it's the same thing. My passions are no longer to speak at huge conferences or be a Christian rock star myself. I want to see where these guys end up. I want to see what they do for God. I want them to experience leading someone to Christ. I want to see them experience baptizing kids. You know, it would have been the most special thing for me to baptize my own. But to watch one of my youth baptize my son. Oh, man. And we can have this success as we go through life. But only if we recognize who God has changed you to become. We're not always going to be Sunday school teachers. We're not always going to be leaders. Sometimes we're going to be the ones who equip and support and pray for our leaders. To give them a sounding board, to give them an ear, to give them comfort, to help pick them up when they inevitably make mistakes. The experience and the wisdom that we have, the insights, are our new skills. So let's give that to the next generation. I want to leave with this. What advice would you give to someone who says they feel like they're stuck? I want to let it go, but there's just no one behind me. Or I'm not sure who God wants me to be. Well, first and foremost, come back to prayer. We got to make that effort to rediscover who God wants us to be in whatever season of life that we have. Every season of life, when you change from student to career, to married, to parents, to grandparents, every stage, God changes who you are. And we have to be diligent in discovering that. And in the end, Caleb received his inheritance because he strove to the end. He came back and he relayed to Joshua why it is that he wanted that piece of land. I don't think it was the piece of land that he was striving for. Because let's be honest, you know, being a little bit older and needing to go fight and destroy cities and that kind of stuff would probably be a little bit tedious by that time. But what Caleb was striving for was the promise that was made to him, that God would bless him. We as a church need to recognize that we're no longer fighting for physical land. We are now fighting for the hearts and minds of those who are in our cities, in our families, in our workplaces. And we need to recognize that the way that we do that is going to be different than when we were younger. Young people, pay attention. It changes, you know. We're getting there. It wasn't until only like 2 years ago where I realized, I think I know who I am now. I think I know what God wants me to be. And then as soon as that happened, got to talk to somebody wiser again, because I thought I did, and now I don't, and now I do, and now I don't. But we have to recognize that the roles change and strategies need to change. Where we were once goers and doers, we need to be senders and equippers, right? Try something new, adapt to the new circumstances, pray. And Caleb, to the very end, stayed faithful to that promise. We as Westwood Alliance Church have to ask ourselves this question. I'm going to ask it one more time. Are the best days of Westwood behind us, or are we moving somewhere? When you look at this stage, when you look at these young people, you see an incredible passion and skill set that we have never seen before. Their ability to interact, to market, to connect through the new technologies that even I don't understand, open up so many opportunities to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into the places where we never thought were possible. And we have to support that. Westwood Alliance Church, we are going somewhere, but only if we are faithful to the promise, to keeping our eyes on the promise. And God has promised to us that He will change the world, that He will restore every heart that bows before Him. And we need to be a part of that journey. We need to give Him our willingness to go. I was having a conversation with some people on Tuesday. I didn't ask for your permission, but I want to tell this story. I went to have lunch and a meeting on UBC campus. And I introduced Joshua, one of our youth leaders, to some of my friends from Australia. And Joshua was saying, yeah, I'm trying to learn this, trying to do this, and it's I don't know how to fit in. I'm trying to discover that. And my two friends from Australia turned to him and said, Joshua, that's the best place to be. It doesn't show where your inadequacies are. It shows that you're willing to be used by God. And so my question for you, no matter where you are, what stage of life you're in, are you willing to try new things so that God will be using you? Because you never know what it's going to be through tennis, through coffee, through ESL, through just sitting on a park bench and saying hi to the person next to you. God will use you if you let Him. And the inheritance that we will receive is one where Jesus Christ changes the lives of those who were willing to serve, whoever they are, wherever they are. Let's pray. Father God, the promise, the passion. Lord Jesus, let us hold on to that. The vision of who You want us to be, help us to discover that. Lord Jesus, May your spirit change Coquitlam through us here at Westward Alliance. Let us be willing to follow you. Let us be willing to be your hands and feet. Let us be faithful to the end. Amen.
Let's stand. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000. Morning by morning, blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Receive God's benediction upon your hearts today. Taken from Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Morning. I just ask you to turn into your bulletins for some brief announcements today. Just remind you, we have a coffee room outside to my left, to your right, down the end of the hall here. We call it Connections, and it's there so we can connect with one another. So please avail yourselves of that, greet each other, and encourage each other this morning through sharing in that time. Also, we have a class called our Thinking Course. And it's a course regarding some of those basic questions in life, five basic questions. We talked about the meaning and purpose of life last Sunday, and this Sunday we're talking about, does God exist? Kind of a strange topic for somebody to be talking about in the church. And of course, we're here because we're saying, yes, God does exist, and he is important to me. But we live in a world where there's a lot of people around us that we rub shoulders with that believe that God doesn't exist. So how do we respond to that? Well, you want to join the class today. Come up. We're in the library upstairs, and we'll be talking about that. Also, you'll notice that we are seeking to bring up some people that we've nominated to our elders board in this month of November. And three of their names are written here that are from our English congregation. And these ones are amongst us today. And today I want to invite one of them up because maybe you don't know these three guys, James, Gary, and Harvey. So I've asked James to come up today, and we're going to ask him a few questions so we can get to know him and you can get to know him. So when it comes to actually voting on the date of November 24th, you'll know a little bit about this guy that you're going to be wanting to vote for. So there's a bit of a process that we're involved with in nominating these guys to our elders board. And one of them is that they're allowing their name to stand as a nominee to our elders board. And so I look at this guy and I kind of see his name's James, but he looks a lot like Caleb to me, you know? He's not 84 years old yet. But he does got a little scruffiness there for Movember stuff happening there. So tell us a little bit about yourself, James, in way of are you married? Do you have kids? Or what's the story here?
Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Excellent. Well, my name is James Chung. I am married. I have a beautiful wife named Sharon. I got two lovely daughters.
Woohoo.
Hannah and Kira. Hannah's up there. Hi, Hannah. Kara's downstairs, 11 and 8, and I've been in Westwood Alliance Church for about 5.5 years, okay? I served in the Awana, currently serving in Awana for about 4 years now, acting commander for the Awana program, so we have about 73 kids downstairs. Also serving, did serve for the 25th anniversary banquet, planning for, you know, the fun day and also the banquet at Riverside Church, also involved in the children's ministry musical.
So you are really involved.
I am really involved and connected with people, and that's just the way I am and just love people.
And I noticed, too, that you don't just stop there. You're serving coffee in our connections
yes,
room.
Yes, so I do.
Cleaning dishes.
I think God's blessed me and just come to serve the Lord. You know, we don't say enough about Jesus in church, and Jesus is awesome. Jesus is great. And for us to be in there and serve people and get connected with people, it's just a blessing to get to know one another.
Excellent. So what led you to allow your name to stand for nomination this year, James?
Pastor Larry, I know I've been praying a lot, and I've been approached many times from elders and say, look, I think you'd be the right fit, but I just don't think it was timing wasn't right. Mm-hmm. I've been praying and, you know, ask God for his wisdom, ask God to guide me to see where I'm at as this church. And finally, you know, God said, you know, the green light is good to go, mm-hmm. and I think it's time to step up and help the church, grow the church, and build this church as together, not just our church, but as the whole congregation, three congregations.
So you're following what Pastor Joe has told us this morning.
Amen. Yes, of course.
I think he sees a bigger hill for us to climb. So you're going to take Horeb and anything else that stands in your way.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good stuff. Okay, so what do you see yourself doing actually as an elder?
You know, Pastor Joe mentioned pray, pray, and pray. And funny thing is, last Friday after Awana, I have to share this because last Friday after Awana, we typically, you know, my family goes off, you know, have a quick snack. And I went to, actually, they went home that night, and I actually went to Save-On to get something. Mm-hmm. And you know, Save-On, there's a homeless guy that sits there. I'm not sure if you guys have seen some guy. I came out and it was so cold that night, last Friday, and I went, I wanted to buy him some chicken.
Some chicken?
Some chicken. And KFC was actually closed. And the guy said to me, it's closed. I said, oh, okay, yes, yes it is. I said, do you mind having a coffee? So I went down to Starbucks, bought him a coffee, bought him a sandwich, and came back and just talked to him. I said, look, I know it's cold, you need to find a place to have shelter. Mm-hmm. Would you have some coffee and some food? And do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yes, I do believe in Jesus. So we talked for a bit. You know, he's been there for a while. He has a home, but he can't go to his home because of some complications. And I said, can we pray? Can I pray for you? So we prayed. And the funny thing is, after that, another person came. And just food was just on his, you know, on the floor and the drink. Mm. And he said to me, with that prayer, I think is a calling that you're here. And it was a blessing for me, and I felt really good about it. So I think praying is very important for not just the church, for praying for everyone. Also, you know, when you asked me, what, you know, becoming out, what position? Well, praying and helping the church build, support the pastor, support the staff, work with you guys, talk to you guys. You know, I apologize if I don't talk to you, most of you. I see you at connections all the time. But please approach me, and I would love to talk to you and sit down and get to know you all, right? So,
and buy somebody some chicken.
And buy you some chicken if you like chicken.
All right. Well, there you have it. James Chung and his wonderful wife, Sharon, and their kids.
That's right. There you go. That's my family. My beautiful family.
Yes, there they are. So do come up and talk to James. And thank you so much, James, for
thank
letting
you,
your name stand.
God bless you all.
Thank you. Just one last thing before we leave. I know we're over time here majorly, but I'm looking forward to the Christmas season of December, and we're looking to have maybe a Christmas banquet on the 14th of this month, and I just want to know by a show of hands this morning if you would be interested in attending something like that, and that we had put the effort into, you know, preparing and doing a Christmas banquet this year. So if that's something you'd like to join on the 14th of December, can I just have a show of hands just to see if the interest up in the balcony, interest in that? Some people, yes, okay, a couple people. Okay, that's really good. That gives me an idea and way of the interest level. So thank you for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church this morning. Please do avail yourselves of the connection room and do talk to James, and our other candidates will be meeting this next two Sundays. That's Harvey and Gary. in the next two Sundays. God bless you as you go into your week.